please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshaies is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshaies at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
but I never had it so good, Sports Media Network. As always, you know, I'm pleased and happy to be here and ready and prepared to share our thoughts. We want to talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. We're going to play a little music right now, take a little short break as we wait for everyone to get called in so that we can be on the same page as we have our discussion today. And I want to thank every one of you for being a part of our audience and being a part of this platform so that we can talk and discuss the topics of the day.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Won't be under any kind of pressure. You see, we'll just let the evening flow. Away from this noisy crowd. Let's go where it's nice and quiet, where there's nobody else around. Let's sit by a cozy lit fire, and we can be each other's company. Now how does that sound to you? Because it sounds so good, it sounds so good to me.
Come on and go with me.
Would you do that, baby?
Come on over to my place.
Would you do that, baby? Would you do that, baby?
Come on and go with me. Come on over to my
sweet.
Oh,
come on and go with me.
like you ought to be with me. Would it be all right with you if we left here and we went somewhere else, baby? Somewhere where it's nice and quiet. Nice and quiet.
Yeah, that sounds a little better than this thing.
Or we could sit down by a cozy fire. We could sip a little wine. Work things out.
Well,
we could work things out.
Welcome to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. How are you doing this evening, Joy?
I'm doing real good, thank you.
Okay, we're waiting on a few of the others to call in. You know, I wanted to talk today about all the trouble that seems to be going on around the world related to the Middle East. And the tragedy of the assassination of one of the Russian representatives. And it is just amazing to me that, you know, people don't understand that when you are bombing a country and to the point where hundreds of thousands of people have to evacuate, that they're going to be angry individuals who are going to look to attack back. And somehow our leaders in the free world are going to have to learn or figure out how to deal with the issues in the Middle East and this terrorism because these people are truly angry. And they're not going to get any less angry when we continue to bomb their cities and force their citizens to flee these countries and live in other places. And when they go to these other places, some of them are not going to be wanting to live in a peaceful way because of the way that their own homeland have been destroyed. And so we're going to have to seek to figure out how do we solve this problem with the Middle East? How does the world come to peace with the Middle East and the people who are in that area? And I don't believe that all of those people are terrorists, but we do have to figure out a way to reach them and calm the situation down. It seems like every day there are incidents going on where innocent people are being run over by trucks, shot down in the streets, and some kind or another we got to come together and find a solution to all this ill will that is uprising around and floating in the Middle East, and therefore leaving the Middle East and going to other countries. And we cannot win the situation by maligning all of the people that are in that area. We cannot malign all Muslims and suggest that all of them are terrorists. We have to try to reach a segment of that population and come to some kind of agreement that allows everyone to live in peace. We cannot annihilate the issue by bombing Syria and bombing all these different places into submission. We have to figure out a way, a more humane way to deal with the issue and come to an agreement that allows us to live in peace. And so many of these people are being destroyed and killed by the hundreds of thousands as Russia and Syria bombs the Middle East, and we have to come to an understanding of how to treat these people better. And we can't continue to let ourselves have the freedom to kill hundreds of thousands of people in the Middle East and think that they're not going to be people who are going to want to strike back at us. So our leadership has to find a way to discuss a peaceful way or peaceful means of a resolution with some of these different organizations. I understand ISIS might be an organization that we cannot negotiate with, and so therefore they'll have to be dealt with accordingly. But we have to recognize also that there are people in the Middle East who don't want to leave their country but don't have any other choice because of all the military action that is being taken place throughout the Middle East. And so we need to just talk about how does the war, how does the bombing, and how do these incidents of terrorism impact us in the United States? Are we going to have to be on guard all the time as a result of what's happening in other places because it may eventually find its way here to the United States? I want to say welcome to both Joyce and Kathy. How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Mr. Deshay? How are you, Andre? You said Andre,
well,
right?
Well, no, Joyce is on. We're still waiting for Andre.
Hi, Joyce. Hi, Ms. Joyce.
Hi, Kathy. Real good. How are you doing?
Good.
You know, I'm just dismayed about how some of these leaders across the country think that they're not going to have some kind of backlash when they're doing this bombing in Syria and killing hundreds of thousands of people in Syria, and then the Russians want to get upset when one of their ambassadors gets assassinated as a result of what they're doing in Syria. George, what are your thoughts about how we just seemingly think we can just be bombing and killing a lot of people in the Middle East and we're not going to be upsetting somebody else in other countries?
Well, you know, it's really sad, but a lot of the other countries, their mindset as to how they value their life and what they think, it's just that they have a different mindset. I mean, you have Mr. Kerry going over, and now if you got a president coming in who really don't even think the way that we think as far as you know, what should happen as far as freeing those people and how they should have the same type of quality of lifestyle that we do. So there's no answer for it, you know, that I know of right now as far as what can be done, because the people that's out to power, I think it's a power play, you know, and it's sad that the bargaining chips are human, you know, humans where they don't have no respect for lives, even the smallest of the humans. I just don't know. This world is in a turmoil right now, and we just really got to pray, and we really got to really speak a higher power than the average person. This calls for a stronger willpower as far as what we're tested with.
You know, I look at some of those pictures, and I just cannot believe the devastation that Russia and the government of Syria has put on its own people. I mean, these huge cities have been turned into rubble, and you got children, men and children dying underneath this rubble. And, you know, you just think that hundreds of thousands of people are fleeing the country. Tens of thousands of people are being killed in the streets. And you wonder why they don't understand why you got people who are striking back any way they can because of the evilness that's going on. And again, I understand ISIS may be a militant group that the only way we can solve that problem is to kill them. But the other part is you're bombing these cities with innocent people in them, and then you expect nobody to be upset or to want to strike back at other powers and say, you know, you're killing our people by the tens of thousands, and then you want to get upset when one or two bombings take place. And I understand that you shouldn't be killing innocent people, but I mean, I it feels like these people don't have a lot of choices. Audrey, Kathy, what are your thoughts about what's being taken place in the Middle East?
Well, I'm sitting here thinking as you guys are talking about it, and I just think about America, how blessed we are, you know, that we don't have to as much worry about that. But I know that in those other countries, they are born to fight, to kill. That's what they do on a daily basis. And we are over here, you know, by the grace of God, that He has covered us. He has covered this country, you know, that we can go. And the things, the issues that we deal with are minor. Those people with their families, the little kids have to be in hiding at all times. They're always afraid. It's terrifying when you start talking about it, you know, because it is a real thing going on, you know, but we only see it on TV, but then hear about it when they come on and do breaking news about it. But it's really going on. And my stance on it is that we just need to continue to pray. You know, we have to go in, I mean, even harder, because the only thing that's going to cover and keep us is the Lord. And His grace and His mercy is the only thing, because at any time they can shoot something over here, you know, like they were talking about ISIS. That's a little small something compared to how these people have been over there training, you know, to kill, to send missiles or stuff over to kill Americans, to kill, you know, the other countries. It's really terrifying. But I know that God is able to do, to take care of, to protect us. So, I mean, on one sense, when you start thinking about it, it's like, but then in the spirit, you got to say, but God.
It is, of course, something that we need to pray about and we need to think about, you know, but we need our leadership to be mindful that these people are human, and they have human feelings, and they want a place where their children can grow up and live out their dreams, just like we have children we want to grow up and live out their dreams here in America. And when you look at that, every time it's amazing to me that no matter how devastating some of the pictures are, the kids are out in the streets trying to play. Anytime they have a ceasefire or they think they may have some peaceful moments, you can see the kids just trying to be kids. And and when you hear about some of the Americans who send balls over to the Middle East or send things over to give to the kids, you know, your heart hurts, because ultimately these kids are born in an environment that's just so destructive that they're not even given an opportunity just to learn how to play. It's just heartbreaking to see them in this situation, this environment, where they go on for years and years and years under this kind of devastation and turmoil, and just not given a minute to relax and feel comfortable living their lives and growing up to be adults. And Joyce, I know that you say you watch TV a lot, so I know you've seen some of these awful pictures that show how devastating these bombs are to these cities, that you can't even believe that these were once thriving cities. When you look at them, can you believe that these used to be huge cities with a lot of people walking up and down the streets all day, places where people would find things to eat? Now these people don't even have any stores or anything to go to, and just living in homes.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And it used to be beautiful, but that just shows you the greed of certain people at the power of the ham. And that is that it's various, and it's really it's scary as to who you have at him who's calling and making all those choices. And the wrong people up to the top, this is what you get. It's scary. But this has been going on for decades. But now it's to the extreme, because I remember when I was small, my auntie, she's Catholic, and she used to work with the nuns to send. Always been given to the organization. But now where she was, it was. Why? But these are beautiful. Crazy. Gotta be something more, and that is up the men up here. It's got you know,
Kathy, it's almost embarrassing, you know, when we have so much and life is so plentiful here, and we wake up every morning and go about our day, and we don't see this kind of destruction. You know, this kind of destruction we see only when hurricanes hit New Orleans, or when we had a huge earthquake in California. Those are the only kind of things that we can compare to what is going on in the Middle East and Syria and in some of these other places. You know, it's almost embarrassing that we have so much and these people have so little.
Well, I wouldn't call it embarrassing. I would call it blessings. And as you guys were talking, I was thinking about the song, you know, God bless America. The Lord allowed us to be born in this particular country for a reason, you know, so it is a blessing for us. And as we should be thankful to God that we are here, and that we should pray for those that are in those other countries. But then thinking about in the Bible how the different cities fought, you know, that's all they did was to fight. And there were some of those cities that were not supposed to live. They were supposed to be destroyed, which is the enemy. So when the enemy come against America, you know, then the enemy has to be destroyed. So it kind of takes you back to, you know, what God said in his word about the different tribes, the different people, those that were, you know, coming up and doing evil and trying to kill, you know. So I feel honored. I feel overwhelmed. I feel joy when I know that I am in the place where there is freedom, you know. And sometimes we forget how blessed we really are, because we are truly, truly blessed. You know, when you begin to talk about this and you begin to think about everything that's going on, we are truly, truly blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, without a doubt, we are blessed. I mean, it is just, you know, when I sit back and I, again, just like Joyce says, that she spends a lot of her time looking in the news, I do the same, and I'm looking at CNN, I'm looking at ABC, CBS, and just trying to get as much information as I can. And those pictures are so horrific when I do see these people carrying people in the streets and having to load them, and people digging out babies who have survived. It's just amazing to me that they live in that kind of situation. And I think that's the reason why I feel comfortable saying that we have to be a part of the world caring for each other, and that we should make provisions like all other countries make making provisions to take a percentage of those people into our country. Now, we need to make sure as much as we can that they're not known terrorists or have done criminal acts before they come, but we certainly should not ostracize Muslims or not allow people to come in our country when we allow so many people the access to our country. We should give, certainly show some humanity and give these women and children and men who have been who are being displaced by this war in the Middle East an opportunity to have the kind of life that we wake up to every day. Your thoughts, Joyce?
No, I agree with you 100% on that. But this issue is getting so out of hand, and it's spreading, and it seems like that the bad is winning, but they're not. That's when you really have to really buckle down, and we have to really be on the same page as to, you know, where we want to go and what we want to do. You got a lot of countries now that they are closing the doors to these refugees going in, and there's no answer to that. I'm scared of that Trump is going to do a lot of that. He's going to be one of the ones that does that too. So it's going to be trying times for us as a nation, us as a people. It's just going to be trying times. And a lot of people, if we don't all get on the right track and if we all don't have love and God on our side, you know, some people just going to be left behind.
And but when we talk about God being on our side, don't we have to know that God wants us to make sacrifices for those who have less than us? You know, he's always, you know, in my belief that we're supposed to, those of us who have been blessed are supposed to be a blessing. And we're supposed to give of ourselves, give of what we have, and supposed to share the blessings that we have. So I don't see how we can suggest that we're being true believers if we're unwilling to help some of those people who are refugees or immigrants who are fleeing fleeing the Middle East, trying to have a better lives for themselves and their children. We know that the large percent of those people are not terrorists, and that most Muslims are peaceful individuals. And so we should not just blackball a whole race or religion of people just because a few happen to be involved in terrorism. Kathy?
Well, they've been they've been doing that since the beginning of time, James. So it's not only with the Muslims and those coming from Mexico. It's been all cultures, not only them. And I just think about, you know, how other cultures come over and they're able to get loans and open up businesses. And where we are here, we're the ones tending the soil, and we can't even get a business. They make
Amen.
It so hard for us to get a business, you know. So sometimes those things, to me, guide my decision to say, yes, put the wall up, stop them from coming in, because, you know, we have to take care of here. I understand what you say about, you know, we got to lend a helping hand, but we got to lend a helping hand here as well, you know, and once we lend our helping hand here, then we can go outside and lend a helping hand. That's just like with your family, as it says in the Bible, you got to take care of your family first. Once you take care of your family, then you go outside of the circle to help take care of the other people. And even with that being said, even, you know, up and down the streets, I know you guys have different areas that you know where there are homeless people. There are people that, because of a job situation or because of, you know, anything could have happened, but they just lost their job and they don't know how they're going to get back to that place they were at, you know. So now they're living in a whole different arena, you know. Their kids are with them. So we got to start here first. We got to help here first. And then, yes, absolutely, we can go out and help the other countries.
Well, we need to.
That's
you know,
a great
one of the
point.
Things, so when I think about, you know, I poor anywhere else in the world would be considered rich. You know, when we take this look at ourselves, Kathy, we need to look at and see the true value of what's going on around us. A lot of these people who are poor don't want to work and who are find themselves on food stamps and living in public housing, but they got cable TV, they got cell phones now. I know a lot of people, everybody got cell phones. If you can't afford a cell phone, all you got to do is find one of those people walking around that'll sign you up for a cell phone that you and I are paying for because, you know, there's a surtax on everybody else's phone so that they can make sure they can give people free minutes. And so it just seems like we're giving, you know, our poor, a lot of our poor are just not people who are out there trying to get as much as they should be trying to get. And I have sympathy for those who are working hard, but I there's a growing part of me that says there are some people out there who are just taking advantage of our system, and our poor have so much more than a lot of these other places have. You know, our poor eat real good. You know, I heard that there's a congressman who is looking to try to change the food stamps so that you can't buy lobster and crabs and seafood with food stamps, because a lot of times these people are buying the kind of food that is very expensive and that will not take them for a whole month, or they're selling their food stamps. So a lot of times we're doing more for our poor than we should. But then, and not that I begrudge our poor, but I mean, sometimes they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Joyce, what do you think?
Wait a minute. That shows that the system is broken. You're penalizing, and I disagree with what you're stating. You know that sometimes we can have the image of what the media want to portray as to what the situation is. So that just shows to us that the system is broken, which all systems are broken. You're going to find someone who's going to be able to get around that, but that doesn't mean that we need to penalize all poor here. And a lot of the people that you feel that is out on the street, and I agree with Kathy, you got young kids, young black kids, that they won't even have a chance to see. Like, I have to give Michelle Obama credit as to what she stated yesterday and what she did while she was in the White House. She gave people the opportunity who lived, the blacks, down the street from the White House, who would never ever get a chance to even see what inside of a White House is all about. She gave them those opportunities. And just like she given us, she knows that those doors are closed to minorities. Now, what Kathy was trying to say is that the reason why we need to help our own is because before we start handing out, you got Orientals who can come over here and they don't even have to pay taxes with their businesses. But then if you try to open up a business, they're going to tax you like crazy. You know, we're not allowed to have the opportunity. I look around and I can't understand how people can even come from even Mexico and set up and get business. Whereas, you know, what are they doing? Because they come over here broke just like me, but they know how to play a system. So our system is broken, and our system works towards who we want to work towards. You see, so we gotta fix what's in her as well too. But a lot of people that are out there, particularly the ones with their kids, they're not out there because they want to, and they're just wandering around. And no kids want to be out in the cold. You know, we're in trouble. We're in trouble even here. Like, that needs to be a system that needs to be broken. Now you got a congressman and you got a president that they to me, they don't care. And you're saying about penalizing the poor, they are going to be penalized because now they're thinking about changing, like you said, food stamp. They're thinking about changing Medicare. And I just became 65 and I'm on Medicare. So I can imagine what's going to happen to the people who may be even less fortunate than me to be able to handle the Medicare. And Medicare is not cheap to be on either, the insurance, the supplement. It's not cheap. It's crazy.
Well, I completely understand that we need to be taking care. We need to take care of those who have worked before us, and I don't want to see anything change about Medicare and the Social Security system. But in general, I just think that we are, you know, like we talked about, a very blessed people. But there are some people who are taking advantage of our systems, and we need, like you say, maybe we need to not. I don't propose us getting rid of the system, but I do propose us tweaking it so that people truly use it for what it's supposed to be used for. I know that as a person who goes around the city of Orlando on a regular basis and a lot of things, and I meet a lot of different kind of people, there are constantly people who are trying to sell me their food stamps. There are people who are selling their food stamps to some of the mom and pop stores. They got people who go grocery shopping for some of these stores. Then the man will give them cash for the groceries that they'll bring back, and he'll put on his shelves. And so there are a lot of people who are truly taking advantage of what is supposed to be a hand up and not a hand out. You know, I know on a personal level that we give, if you leave the jail, automatically you're able to get $200 worth of food stamps a month just for being released from jail. And, so I'm not sure if we are doing, are we doing these people a service or a disservice for all the things that we're willing to give to them just for not working or not trying to find a way to make a living. And I want to help them, but I want to help them get in school. I want to help them find a skill that will make them an honest living. I think that might be a better way of assisting them instead of just giving them a reason not to do anything. Kathy?
What I wanted to say is I think it was maybe a month ago, maybe a couple of months ago, we had a discussion concerning EBTs, food stamps, Medicare, and different things like that. And you were for that. We talked about it, and you said that you think that they need that, and some of the people out there can't get jobs, and they need that because that's the only way that they're going to be able to make it. Do you remember that conversation we had?
But now, I believe that they need a hand up, but not a hand out. I mean, I'm saying trying to catch me in a trap.
Joyce, do you remember that today?
I agree with you.
I'm glad
you called it.
I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair that they can sell their food stamps. Now, they ain't supposed to be able to sell these food stamps.
Okay. No, let them sell it.
But what I wanted to say is that, you know how you talked about that in the other countries, the mothers running and the killings and seeing the people on TV, you know, lying in the streets and running and dead. I propose something to you. If you will go to your computer and pull up murders in your city, I'm sure you will find case after case after case after case of murder that you don't even know about that's happening right in your city. So what I'm saying is that we have to try to figure out how we can help our own work. Once we can get everything together here, we can take whatever we put together here and then propose it to the other countries. But first, we got to get ourselves together. We can't go and try to help somebody else and our stuff is not together.
Amen. I agree.
Well, I see that Regina is over there chiming in on the back end. Welcome to the show, Regina.
Hi.
Well, we're talking. Well, we've been talking about a lot of different things, and so you know how we move around. But initially, we're talking about the tragic things that are happening in Syria and the destruction of the Middle East. And yet, then you have some people who are surprised that there are people out there who killed, like the gentleman who killed the ambassador from Russia, as a backlash to all the murders that Russia is doing in the Middle East, and how we need to find a more humane solution for handling the issues in the Middle East, other than just bombing these people into submission.
I agree. You know, one thing that I have discovered since I've been at the school where I teach, and I've told you, you know, I often speak of the diversity over there and how we have people from like 14 to 17 different languages. Well, recently we've had an influx of refugees from the Middle East. And it is absolutely amazing to when we find out what the story is behind the story and what the children go through and how the mothers and children are coming over. The children are so, they're scared. They're like deer with headlights. You know, they're running from death over here. And they often don't come with fathers because the men are fighting the wars and the women and the children are being killed. Children in elementary school are soldiers. And we've got to teach them as if they are children. It is amazing what's happening over there. It is so sad.
And it's just, you know, one of the things I was saying is that we have to find a humane way to do our part as believers to give these people a chance, to give them an opportunity to have the kind of life that we have. And I know that, you know, and Kathy has suggested that I'm flip-flopping, but the fact is that I believe in being a liberal. I believe in helping people, but I want people to do the right thing. I don't want people to take advantage of our system. I want them to use our system to get on their feet, and then so they can help us help others. And so that's my purpose. I worked for 30 years, and I was able to care for myself, and I want other people to work hard as well, but I want people to also don't use the system in a negative fashion. Again, I'm telling you on my own, and I know Kathy and Joyce and Regina, all of you are probably aware of the things that go on, but I have to battle every day, Kathy. I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, I have to battle with my thoughts every day related to whether I turn in stores that I know are doing bad things, like selling single cigarettes, buying groceries from people out of Publix and other stores to put on their shelves and paying less than 10 cents on the dollar to these people. These homeless people are being taken advantage by some of these store owners who's selling them beer at a very expensive price on food stamps. I mean, I just battle with myself because I'm saying, okay, here's a store that is serving these people in this inner city, and if I turn them in, then the people don't have a store to go to. But it's easy. I mean, these stores are getting away with murder, and some of these people are getting away with murder on these food stamps, too, as well.
Well, now you know what we were talking about.
What were you saying, Regina?
I said, now you know why we were adamant as we were a few weeks ago.
Well, I'm just saying I don't want the system to work, but I just want it to be fair and people not, you know, the store owner I think is the worst. I mean, he is truly taking advantage of the system altogether. I don't, more so than the people, the store owner is ripping everybody off.
Well, then you need to report that store owner then. They need to find him because you're not helping. You're really not helping. So you helping him still if you turn in the other cheek. If you know that something is wrong and you know that it's wrong, then you need to report that because that's the only way that it's going to be made right.
Yeah, you're right. I again, like I say, you know, even as simple as he'll break, you know that he's making a fortune breaking cigarettes open, and then he sell them a 50 cent a cigarette, and that's because they can only get 50 cents together at a time because they can't get $4 or $5 at a time to buy the whole pack.
Yeah, he's teaching them to play the system wrong, and he's supposed to be. See, and that's that power that's going on now. But the reason why that the countries are in this situation because of someone who really has the power that is cheating the system from the top.
And you know, you all, I don't know if it's like this in your city, but we've been looking at who are coming in and owning these stores. And leasing these stores, and I won't call any specific nationality, but it is as if they come over here and they know how to play the game, and they get into these impoverished neighborhoods. I went into one a couple of years ago, and what I purchased was, let's say, $1.04, and I gave him $1.05, and he didn't give me my penny back.
Mm.
And I looked at him, and I held my hand out, and I asked him, and there were people in behind me in line. I said, "How many pennies do you keep a day?"
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same type of store that sells those however much cigarettes, and people come in and they buy the beer and they charge them for a sausage, and the same folk are behind the counter, behind bulletproof glass enclosures.
And not only that, James, they're calling over there to those other countries that she doesn't want to say, and they're sending more people over to show them how to play the system. The system is broken, and if you don't stop it, you playing into it what it is that you know that is wrong. That's the only way. And you know that if they know how to play the system, what do you think they're gonna do? They're gonna tell their buddy how to come over and get rich. That's
y'all,
how come we can. Our young people can't get ahead because somebody then show somebody how to come over here and play on them, on our system, on our people. And our young people, you think they're going to share the information with our young people? Those are the ones that take advantage of. So, honey, I would turn them in a minute.
A few weeks ago, this is no story. One person went before a board and applied for 3 different liquor licenses in 3 different sections of town.
Mm.
One person.
There you go. Unreal. And now young people can't even get a job.
You're a little late coming to the show today. Audrey, what has you so late?
I told you about asking people that.
Excuse me?
trying to sneak into the show at the last minute.
Wait a minute. Yes, you're welcome that I made the extra effort to join this show tonight. Absolutely, no problem.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we win tonight, I don't know, we have to prorate your time on the show. So if these numbers win tonight, we're gonna have to prorate your amount.
That's not true. That's not a part of the rules. Now you change the rules in the middle of the game. See, there you go.
Don't worry about it. We got you, girl. We got you.
That's right. That's right,
Andre. Thank you. I mean, when people put forth extra effort, it's so nice to be appreciated. You know?
Yes, indeed. Hello.
You come in here calling in the show 4 minutes before it's over, and you want to pull amount of this money?
Let me say this. In the scripture, it's a story about the ruler who was paying out, you know, for sale for the day, and he paid the last person just as much as he paid the first. I'm so thankful that you're trying to be Christ-like and follow that example.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what. You're gonna have to go to Jesus for your portion, because
Oh wow!
Oh, I'm so glad I brought laughter. I'm so glad I brought laughter to the show.
I, in the Bible it says, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto me what is mine." So I'm just telling you, 4 minutes ain't enough time for me. So you got to work a little harder.
That's not a part of the guidelines. You're changing the rules in the middle of the game, and that's not fair.
I know.
That's not fair.
I know she. All I know is Joyce. She come in here sneaking in here 4 minutes before the show opens.
We got your back, Andre. We got your back.
Thank you.
Trying to sneak in here last minute to make sure she in the part of the Fantastic Four.
Yes, indeed.
James, anybody tuning into this show would think we were crazy. They don't know what we have to deal with you.
I'm telling you.
I am just calling everybody out. You know, hey, see, the rest of you don't see the board. I saw her sneaking in here at the last minute, and I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware that, you know, that she snuck in at the last minute. That's all.
Uh-huh.
I know you're glad to have me. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here also.
Well, you did finish out the Final Four, so we did have the Final Four, the Fantastic Four in place for today's show. So we appreciate you coming in as you did. We're going to take a short break. And we'll come back and we'll do the final word.
Oh, goodness.